Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Is on your mind. Lay it on me, folks. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. The name of the show is What Is On Your Mind, because we want to know what is on your mind. And today on the program, we have a couple of guests. Next hour, Congressman Kevin Cramer will be here. It's Wednesday. It's the Talk Radio Town Hall. Already some questions have come in for him. If you have others that you would like to ask of him, don't be afraid to get it in right now at 855-200-1776. 855-200-1776 is that telephone number. And when you call, just press 1. It'll allow you to leave your message, and we will make sure it gets in for Congressman Cramer. Always encourage folks to call either ahead of time or early in the hour, next hour, just to make sure your question gets in. And inevitably, we have folks waiting to weigh in towards the end of the hour. We run out of time, so don't be shy. Get those questions in right now at 855-200-1776, extension 1, or early on in the hour.
It's like a dance. Nobody wants to be that first one.
Kind of is.
You know, everybody waits till the end, and then they get to that. You know, don't wait.
Go ahead. Get in.
There's always the first one. But anyway, be the second then. Be the third. Be the fourth. Just be bold. Also, Kirsten Basler will be here. She is the superintendent of public instruction in North Dakota, the top education official in the state, elected by North Dakotans, and she announced this week a proposal for a new civics test for seniors, a requirement for graduation. We're going to talk about that. I just want to spend a moment here on one story that's in the news, the death of Denny Walliker, the mayor of Fargo. I put a Facebook post up about this. I had Denny's cell phone number, which I guess is not unusual in the sense that a lot of times in the media, those of us that interact with elected leaders will have their cell phone number so that we can contact them. And sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. But what I was amazed about Denny is that I think everybody had his cell phone number. I think half the town of Fargo had a cell phone number. And I thought of that when I heard the news last night that he had passed away. What I like about it is it says he knows who he works for. Right? He was the people's mayor. He was this little guy's mayor. He was really a neat guy. He really was. And he'll be missed. A lot of people think of Denny Walliker as thinking of the flood fights and his many battles. And he was a pro. And it was one of those things he just knew in his gut. And obviously did a fantastic job, first as public works director for 30-plus years as a city employee. And then one of those great stories goes on to put himself on the ballot and be the mayor and had a battle with kidney cancer, and, you know, obviously he had a very uphill battle all along. So I don't think we could call this a surprise. Maybe the timing a little quicker than everybody thought. Cancer's awful. You know, we've all got stories of, you just shake your head when you hear these stories. So anyway, thoughts and prayers with the Walliker family, and great memories is what I will hold dear about Denny Walliker. Remember when ESPN Sports Zone was coming to town? Denny was a big, giant Bison fan. I mean, he was a team maker. He was into it. He loved every minute of it. And he was hospitalized the week that College Game Day was coming to town. So I called him. Of course, he answered the phone in the rehab facility, getting stronger, going home. And I said, are you going to make it downtown? We're doing a little broadcast on Friday. I'd love to feed you some Cloverdale bacon to strengthen you up there a little bit. And he wasn't sure when he was going to get out, but it turns out he wasn't able to come. We went over to his house. Senator Hovind, Mikey Hovind, came along, and we delivered a get-well card, and a lot of Bison fans had signed, including some of the crew from ESPN, and delivered that and some bacon, and had a great, nice chat. So I got a good memory and a nice visit, and I just had a hunch at that time it wasn't going to be long, and sadly it wasn't. So on our minds today. Hey, the legislative session is underway in the sense of the organizational session going on. Governor Dalrymple will give an address at 10 o'clock at the state capitol. That will be the news for the week, because it'll be basically the governor's priorities for the legislature and a first look at the budget. How much will be spent? What will be there in tax relief? What kind of investments in infrastructure will happen? And we do have our ace legislature today, reporter Gary Emmerich on the scene there. He'll be giving us some tidbits. We'll share those with you next hour during our chat with Congressman Kramer, and obviously be talking about that in great detail tomorrow on the program as well. Governor Dalrymple will join us tomorrow on the program, as well as Senator Rich Warner, the Senate Majority Leader, and we're going to check with Watford City Mayor Brent Sanford as well about his reaction to whatever the governor says today in the way of infrastructure in the oil patch communities. So we look forward to that conversation tomorrow on the program for reaction as well. Okay, a couple of things on our mind, and let's get to the phones here. Already folks waiting to weigh in. James in Walhalla, what is on your mind?
Yeah, a question was posed on this station earlier this morning about who would we have as a GOP candidate to run 2 years from now, and if it is going to be Hillary on the Democratic side, nothing comes to my mind other than Trey Gowdy. This guy is amazing. I believe he's a senator for North Carolina, but he already headed it off with Hillary over the Benghazi issue and interrogated her. And I'll never forget how he said, if I was in charge, I would have relieved you of your duty. I think where we maybe have hit or lost last time was in debates where Romney was really sticking into his guns and won, but then almost like a boxer laid back and quit doing those body shots. Trey Gowdy is kind of really no-nonsense. I don't think he's at what people think of about government being corrupt and stuff. He doesn't let a lot of this passion and you know, stuff come into play. I think he's just really no-nonsense. He would be the guy to get Hillary. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, that's the debates. If you know the presidential race was about the debates, I would agree with you. I'm not sure that Trey Gowdy is a name that is well enough known nationally that he would be enough of a force against Hillary Clinton, honestly. But I totally agree with you on the debate side. By the way, he is a member of the House from South Carolina. He's a former prosecutor, and he just yesterday was in some hearings. Just tearing into the White House officials on the immigration issue, using the president's own words on what his authority was, which was very, very good. So you're right. He's what he is, you know, I think someone that says what you're thinking about some of the shenanigans that are going on. You need folks like that, you know, probing and doing the questioning. Whether or not he's presidential timber, I'm not so sure I'm ready to go there, James. We'll see if others agree with you. Appreciate the call. And if not him, who? Dustin in Williston, listening on KTGO. You're next on What's On Your Mind, 800-228-0550. Let us know what's on your mind. Dustin, go ahead.
All right, Scott. So, first off, I just wanted to say that the mayor's family and the mayor's in my prayers, and I didn't know him, and I've not been a North Dakota resident for that long, but he sounds like a good guy from the way everybody speaks about him, and, you know, the way people speak about you when you're not there is a big thing. But also, a little side thing on the 2016 race is, right now, I'm leaning towards kind of like what your last caller said, Trey Gowdy, if he would run, but also Dr. Ben Carson. But, you know, I'm still on the fence. I'm still vetting both of them. But, yeah. But my main thing that I wanted to bring up was all these accusations against Cosby, especially the most recent one. And it's because the most recent one says that Cosby had molested her in the Playboy Mansion when she was 15. I don't know, but everything I've heard about this so far is all about whether he did it or not. No one's asked the question, why is this 15-year-old little girl at the Playboy Mansion?
Very good question. Not that that would, you know, again, suggest that it's, if in fact this happened, it was her fault, but certainly a question to say, what in the world, you know, I guess the answer is Hollywood, right?
Of course.
You know, I personally am of the opinion there's way too much smoke here for there not to have been a fire. And when you see some of the comments from people who were party to it, like this retired security guard who was, you know, getting checks to people, how do you explain that? I mean, there's just way too many people involved for there not to be some there. And it looks to me like a classic case of, you know what, a powerful guy, popular celebrity, so let's just sort of look the other way. But it seems to, you know, it seems to be catching up to him. I see he resigned from the Board of Trustees of his alma mater because of some heat there. So this is all catching up to him. Just get the facts on the table and get it all out there. But I have a hard time believing this is some giant conspiracy theory where a bunch of people are, at this point in time, deciding to get together and gang up on Bill Cosby. That seems like a stretch, doesn't it, Dustin?
Yes, yes. I mean, sometimes it happens, but at this magnitude, where there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, something
sure seems like it. But you're certainly right, about the other question, but it doesn't mean that he didn't do it. Appreciate the call. Thanks. 800-228-0550. If you knew Danny Wolacker, if you watched Danny Wolacker as mayor of Fargo, whether as a resident of Fargo or as a resident elsewhere, and have a memory, feel free to share it today on the program. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Also want to tell you about a proposal about concealed carry to protect our schools coming up in North Dakota. Talk about that coming up.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at What's On Your Mind.
At BNSF Railway, we never forget what's kept our rail cars rolling through long, starry nights. For over a century, the American farmer. Pure and simple. Since 1854, BNSF has grown mile after mile, following the harvest from state to state, county to county, town to town. That's why we're the largest grain hauling railroad in North America and dedicated to every farmer who plows a row. BNSF Railway, supporting the farmers who helped us grow from the very beginning.
Here's to everyone who believes in competition and good sportsmanship, who knows it's not about the trophies or the medals, but rather the lessons learned. For those who understand, it's not whether you win or lose, just that you give your best. So go ahead, lace them up, take the field, have fun, and play. For the experience, for the memories, for the love of the game. Shields, when it comes to gear and expert advice, we're right there with you in Bismarck, Minot, Grand Forks, Fargo, and Moorhead.
A word about agriculture from your friends at the North Dakota Farm Bureau. Agriculture is an important industry in North Dakota, and the North Dakota Farm Bureau is important to agriculture. See, Farm Bureau is dedicated to enhancing economic opportunities for their members. They're not just about farming and ranching. Farm Bureau has more than 27,000 members across the state. Folks just like you that are concerned about issues that matter, like our schools, our roads, our safety, and, of course, economic progress. At the North Dakota Farm Bureau, they provide a strong voice on issues that matter to all North Dakota citizens. Farm Bureau also provides their members with a variety of savings opportunities on everything from new and used vehicles to motels and home appliances. We're all in this together. And North Dakota Farm Bureau wants to be there to make sure our economy and agriculture remain strong for generations to come. Find out more about all the North Dakota Farm Bureau has to offer you by going online to ndfb.org. That's ndfb.org. Your state, your future, your Farm Bureau. That's the North Dakota Farm Bureau.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Today by the North Dakota Petroleum Council, North Dakota Oil can and does. 60,000 jobs, $30 billion in economic impact. Find out more at NorthDakotaOilCan.com, NorthDakotaOilCan.com. One state representative wants your opinion on whether or not it's time for a concealed carry in schools. This came up in the last legislative session, and Representative Dwight Kiefert, who represents District 24 in the North Dakota House of Representatives, would like to bring this up again. He's saying, I want to hear from the public on whether or not to pursue this. As in parents emailing their legislators, mailing the Senate, demanding they provide protection for their school children. I believe higher ed is receiving additional funding for security, so why is K through 12 being left as sitting ducks? There have been 15 major school shootings since Newtown. There are 18 states, including South Dakota, which allow teachers to conceal and carry. Why can't we be proactive on this matter? Newtown thought it would not happen to them, too. Why are our children going to have to pay the price before we take action? We never used to have murders, stabbings, and drug-related shootings in Valley City either, but now we do. North Dakota's horizons are changing. He wants to pass a bill that would allow trained personnel to conceal and carry in schools with the approval of the school board, hold a Class 1 license, receive training similar to a resource officer, and work with local law enforcement. But he's saying the only way it'll happen is if parents demand protection for their children. So parents, does this interest you? By the way, it did pass in the House in the last session, but died in the Senate. And Representative Kiefert has written a piece for the Say Anything blog in which he's advocating for this piece of legislation again and asking for your input on it. And poo-pooing some of the comments that came from the critics over in the Senate last time around. Comments like a trained teacher would be like having someone lobbing bottle rockets down the hall. Or claims the bill would allow children to bring guns to schools. He says, why would a trained teacher or whomever that receives training similar to a resource officer be less acceptable than a regular resource officer? Here we go, folks. Legislative session coming up, and this is one idea of several you'll be hearing about. What do you think of this one? Let us know at 800-228-0550 on this or any topic here in our open phone section. Kirsten Basil at the bottom of the hour. Congressman Kevin Cramer next hour in the Talk Radio Town Hall. Plus, Governor Dalrymple in his address to the assembled the body of the 64th legislature in the 10 o'clock hour. We will no doubt get you a few tidbits, highlights before the end of the program from the governor. Stephen Grafton, listening on AM 1100, The Flag. What's on your mind?
Hey there, Scott. I just want to talk about the concealed carry thing. I'm a concealed carry permit holder myself, and I'm all for it, but it has to be up to the school, like you said, and they have to be trained. I can't say it enough. And another thing, the only way I would agree to it is if the firearms they have many safeties on them, including an optional thumb safety on them. I don't want firearm around my kids that do not have all the safety equipment on them, but a lot of handguns are coming these days without hardly any safeties on them.
And just so you know, what the proposal is, again, is the school board has to say it's okay for that school. The individual has to have a Class 1 license. Training comes with that. They have to receive training similar to what a resource officer would have. And then also local law enforcement needs to be aware of it and say, okay, here's our plan. So obviously a lot of the safety is going to come through those particular areas. So sounds like you're in agreement with the proposal there. Steve, appreciate the call. John and Bismarck listening on 550K Fire. What's on your mind?
Well, I certainly agree with what that man said there. And but they could... There's a few more things that they could do, and one of them is taking self-defense classes as far as the teachers and stuff are concerned. The second thing it would be if they teach the legislatures to keep and bear arms, and considering that the people that we have out there, that terrorists that are possibly go after our oil lines, is that we would want to teach the farmers as much as self-defense as we could, because one thing terrorists do is they always go after farmers because they don't know how to defend themselves like they should.
John, appreciate the call. Stephen Bismarck, listening on K-Fire. What's on your mind?
Hello, this is Steve.
Gotcha, Steve. Go ahead.
Okay, I've got a question that maybe you could pose to the superintendent of public instruction, and that is, when is that organization, is that agency going to engage in public debate about Common Core? They've been asked to participate in several. They don't seem to be interested unless it's a fairly controlled venue. When are we going to have an open give and take about Common Core prior to the session? Thanks.
Prior to the session, okay. Well, that would leave much time, obviously. I was going to say that issue, from all accounts, is going to be very robust during the session. Before the session, no, but we'll ask the questions for you, for sure. Bob, on the road, listening on AM 1100, The Flag, what's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to talk about the concealed carry in schools.
Yes, sir.
I actually think they should make it a little bit more easier. I'm a concealed carry test administrator. I'm also retired law enforcement. The people that want to do harm to our children are going to do harm to our children. The only way you're going to stop that is the good people that are willing to train themselves and to carry and to stop those bad people. The evil people are there. You have to stop them.
Pretty basic common sense. So you like the idea, but you think maybe there's too many hoops? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. You know, if somebody goes to the trouble to get a Class 1 concealed carry permit in North Dakota, they're checked out, their mental health is checked out to see if they've had any kind of history of mental illness. Their criminal record is checked. These are good people that are getting these permits. The license in North Dakota. And these are good people.
Now, my thought is similar to yours, Bob. Any tool in the toolbox to give the good guys the ability to defend from the bad guys who are going to do what they're going to do makes perfect sense. I'm glad we're having this debate again. Wiley in Glen Valley listening on K-Fire. What's on your mind?
Hey, Scott. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Say, just in regards to the previous caller was talking about how farmers need, ranchers need to learn how to defend themselves, I disagree wholeheartedly. I think if you go throughout the state of North Dakota, it's anybody more capable of defending themselves. And another thought on this whole topic of teachers arming themselves, maybe just I agree they should arm themselves, but I agree with another caller that every firearm should have safety, but maybe a first step would be a non-lethal solution like a modern taser or something.
Taser gun, sure. Yeah, got it, Riley. We're losing you on the cell phone, and I'm up against the break. More coming up on What's On Your Mind. Civics test requirement for graduation in North Dakota high schools. Good idea. We'll talk about it next.
Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
Louis L'Amour once said, quote, "We who pass do not own this land, but we will use it. We will hold it briefly in trust for those yet to come. We must not reap without seeding. We must not take from the earth without replacing," unquote. The Northwest Landowners Association understands the importance of industry in North Dakota. Still, we want the land protected and the owners respected. Go to nwlandowners.com. Northwest Landowners was established to maintain a balance in resource development and property rights of individuals. We want to be the conduit between private property owners and North Dakota industry in both directions. The association is the united voice of landowners finding solutions to problems. We want to ensure that our kids and grandkids have the same opportunity to make a living off the land that we've had. Go to nwlandowners.com for more information. That's nwlandowners.com. nwlandowners.com.
We love that you're passionate about GCN. And whether you're a listener, a business owner, or a radio industry professional, we've redesigned the new GCN newsletter to keep you in the know. Get updates on your favorite GCN shows and hosts. Go to GCNlive.com and click on the banner in the upper left corner. Just for signing up, you're automatically entered for monthly giveaways. Start receiving your newsletter today. The future of talk radio. GCN.
I lost 18 pounds in just 4 days. Hi, I'm James Zetta. If you're like me, you've already tried and failed at many diet and weight loss plans. The 18 and 4 weight loss plan requires no exercising, no diet pills or additives, no laxatives, no meal replacements, and no diet drinks. The 18 and 4 program is crystal clear with a day-to-day, step-by-step, and meal-to-meal guide. If you're not satisfied with your results, I will give you my 30-day full money-back guarantee. Go to 18and4.com. That's the number 18, I-N, the number 4.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Edition of What's On Your Mind, brought to you in part by the North Dakota Petroleum Council. With Todd Mitchell, I'm Scott Hennon. Here's the telephone number to join the discussion, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Busy day, Governor Jack Dalrymple in about 28 minutes. We'll give his address to the House and the Senate legislative body. Actually, they put them all in one chamber together. In the House chamber, put all the Senate and the House members right there, and the governor gets up. Very, newsworthy moment of the organizational session. A lot of the other things are procedure, but we'll find out just exactly what the governor proposes and what will happen in the way of the guidepost, if you will, on spending and tax relief and a number of other things as well. Next hour, we do have our legislature today. Ace host, Gary Amenith, up there, who will be giving us tidbits as we go throughout the program, so we'll give you some of those. Congressman Kevin Cramer is here next hour in the Talk Radio Town Hall for the whole hour with your questions and comments on any topic, your chance to talk with your member of Congress on what's on your mind. 800-228-0550 is our toll-free telephone number. What do you think of the idea of adding a requirement for graduates of North Dakota schools to pass a civics test? The same basic questions that new immigrants that want to become citizens, naturalized citizens that become become citizens of the United States. Same thing. That's a 100-question test. It would be administered to high school students that have to pass it, and passing, by the way, 60% in order to graduate. It's an effort that's happening around the country. Kirsten Baszler is the superintendent of public instruction. She announced that this will be a legislative proposal added as a requirement in the upcoming session, and here to talk about today with us and welcome your calls, questions, and comments. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Scott.
So give us the genesis of this idea, which has some South Dakota roots, and I know there's some other efforts nationally behind this, but tell us about why it attracted your attention.
Certainly. Civics, obviously, and citizenship has always been a real important part of my life. I grew up in southwest North Dakota in a family where service to country was very, very important. And so it's been very important in my own personal life. But as you mentioned, it's a nationwide initiative to have our natural-born citizens more aware, more knowledgeable about the country that we live in and about the country that our veterans have defended for generations. And we felt it was important in North Dakota that we have our citizens of North Dakota become informed citizens. They will be our next generation of leaders, and they are certainly going to be our next generation of voters. And we felt it was definitely our responsibility to do our part in education to provide them the basic foundational knowledge of what it is that we need to know as American citizens.
And is this a, you know, a couple of things that came up yesterday when we first talked about this. Some folks said, gosh, only 60% to pass. Are we lowering the bar too low? And also, well, does this suggest that we, because we need this, that we're not getting the job done? That, you know, some of those statistics nationally about the low percentage of you know, 6 and 7% on this test has you saying, well, what in the world is happening to our education system? Why don't you deal with those two pieces of criticism first?
Certainly, I appreciate that. 60%, let's deal with that first. This is just a starting point, the bare minimum. And this was my intention, and I think the intention of all the legislators that are involved in this initiative. But this is the basic level, the minimum level that all of our students should know. It really is our hope that this is a catalyst, a motivation to really engage our students in civics again, that this is a launching point for an opportunity for our civics teachers, our social studies teachers across the state to have civics come alive again. Because when you raise the motivation, when you raise the elevation of how important this is, students and teachers alike, I believe, will take it as important as it truly is. We don't believe that 60% should be where they stop, and we also believe that it is occurring throughout our schools across the state. Most of the questions, most of the topics, most of the issues that are involved in this assessment or that are contained within this assessment are already embedded into many of our POD classes, American government classes, our basic social studies classes across the state. But how they're covered and the level of the weight that they are given may be very different across the state. Now with this requirement that all of these students, all of our students graduate with a basic foundational knowledge, we are making it a point to say this is important. And when you place importance on something, it does rise to a new height of importance and a new elevation of addressing it in our classroom.
Some of the feedback I detected from superintendents and educators is that, hey, no problem on the test because this is part of the curriculum. When I hear you talk about civics coming alive, that sounds to me like a new energy you're suggesting for the curriculum. So you see this as being the catalyst that that gets us back focused on what makes America great, say that again, sorry.
I sure hope so. I hope that is truly my intent. Visiting with civics teachers, certainly, you know, for the last 2 years, but even before then, they continue to try to make it relevant and important to students, and they struggle with that. I think there's a level, and I hear this from our civics teachers, from our social studies teachers, that there's a level of apathy that exists among many of our students, that they're not really concerned about it. They leave governance to so many other people, and that's not true of all of our students. Certainly have. I meet them every day, every time I visit a school or a classroom. We have great future leaders out there. But we need all of our students to be engaged. We need all of our students to know that this is an important part, just as important as their math and their science and their English assignments. We can't leave it up just to a small number of our students that are engaged. So it is my hope that it will engage all of our students in the state of North Dakota and help them understand the importance of why it is that our country is so great. And, you know, so many people know about the efforts of Thomas Jefferson to promote education and to promote that free public education in the United States. I don't think what many of them know is that it wasn't really to create a nation full of intellects or doctors or attorneys, although that he placed value on that. But his driving motivation behind that was so we could be a country filled with intelligent, educated people that were capable of governing themselves. And I think we need to return to that for all of our students.
Kirsten Baszler, the Superintendent of Public Instruction, with us on What's on Your Mind today on this new proposal that will be before legislators in the upcoming session. Kathy and Bismarck listening on KFAR has a question for the superintendent. Go ahead, Kathy.
Yes, I just have no understanding of why we're even thinking about this. You know, when we went to school, we learned this. This was part of our civics. We were tested on it, just like with any other test. Why we're looking at going to join some national group that's pushing this initiative, it blows me away. Just teach it in school. They'll be tested. They don't need this. Thank you.
All right, Kathy, with a comment, thank you. Any response, Kirsten?
Well, I think Kathy makes a very good point. We were tested on it. I remember learning all of those aspects of the citizenship exam as well. But the fact is, I just had three of my students. They're in college. Two of them have graduated from college, and the final one is a junior in college. And they learned it, and they know it. We talk about it at home, but they weren't tested on it. They weren't assessed on it. And I think we need to go back to the way that we were taught on the basic foundational principles. So many things in education are different now, and that is natural evolution of everything, and education included. But there are some things that we do need to continue to be traditional in, and I believe the foundation of our country is one of those things that we cannot let escape this generation.
How did we get here? Why do you think we got to this point? Why did we get lackadaisical about it?
You know, I don't know. I can't really speak to that. I think that teaching civics, teaching citizenship again is done across our state, but there has been such a stronger push in the core subjects, if you will, the math, the science, the English, that a lot of our class time is spent on those. I don't think that we should be taking away, and I don't think by requiring this citizenship exam or assessment will change that or take anything away from it. I think that these concepts, these topics can be taught in congruency with all of our core subjects, but there is only a certain amount of time in each day of a teacher. I think that we need to find a way, and that's why it was very important for me to not add additional burden and allow the flexibility that our local school districts will need to in order to administer this within the walls of their own school. There's certainly constraints of time, and so we need to make sure that this is elevated to the same level of science and math and English. And as far as it being a national movement, the reason it became a national movement, and again, you spoke to this a little bit earlier, was the former governor of South Dakota. He realized the importance of it and where we had come as a country. When he was traveling, he was the Medal of Honor, Congressional Medal of Honor award winner. He was traveling through an airport, and of course, it was a metal object, and he was going to do a presentation with it. And he traveled, and the TSA agents, the security people, thought it looked dangerous, and they were concerned about it, and they didn't know what it was. And, you know, as a war hero that had sacrificed so much of his life and seen so many of his comrades die in action, he realized that if we are going to remain strong as a country, we as a country need to know what our veterans have fought and died for.
We have a couple calls waiting and only about a minute left in this segment. I think you're tight for time, too, because I would imagine you're going to go down to the governor's address, right?
Yes, I need to listen to that, exactly.
What time do you need to be off?
Well, I should be off with it probably by 10 to 10.
All right, so we'll have a little time when we come back to visit. Let me get one other, at least the question here from Ken in Devil's Lake for you, and we'll answer on the other side of the break. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I'll try to make this short. My mom was a teacher, and back in the late 90s with all the changes that were going on, she got disgusted with the education system. She saved all my papers back when I was a kid. I'm looking at what I did in 9th and 10th grade, my senior daughter's just doing now. I think that has a lot to do with it, with all those education changes.
All right, so is that a reason? Are we piling on more requirements and the civics are getting lost?
I don't know. Less requirements from when I went to school back in the late
80s. No, I understand what you're saying. I was asking Kirsten that if there's, you know, things that are crowding out civics causing the issue you mentioned. Hang on for your answer, Ken. We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. Kirsten Baszler with us. Amy and Marlene, we'll get to you, too. Stay tight.
The program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228.
Welcome to Soybean Minute. Now, here's Diana Biedelsbacher.
Soybean producers interested in intensive soybean management should attend one of four Getting It Right meetings scheduled for Streeter, Underwood, Minot, and Newburgh, North Dakota. North Dakota State University Extension representatives will discuss soybean research and 2015 production issues. Meeting dates and locations are January 13th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Central Grasslands Research Extension Center in Streeter, January 14th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Underwood City Hall Meeting Room in Underwood. January 15th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the North Central Research Extension Center in Minot. And January 15th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Newburgh Community Center in Newburgh. For more information, contact NDSU Extension Agronomist Dr. Hans Condell at 701-231-8135.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
North Dakota and Minnesota's leading steel building contractor is Evercorp Building Systems. Jesse Everett, the owner, is on the phone with us. Jesse, I need a shop, an office, and a warehouse all in one. Can you take care of me?
Absolutely.
How long does the design process take?
3 weeks and you've got your blueprints.
How long is delivery going to take?
We guarantee delivery in 4 weeks.
And when am I moving in?
We're going to have that building built in 90 days.
Tell me about the quality. What goes into an Evercorp building?
All North American-made steel. We tend to put big foundations under them that are engineered by local engineers that understand the conditions, and we tend to overdo it.
How do you price this so I get the best bang for my buck, Jesse?
We use 39 plants across the U.S. That's factory direct, which means you get the best price.
Jesse, you sold me. How do I reach you to talk about my next building project?
Just call me, 612-282-9922.
Or online at evercorpbuildingsystems.com. Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
All right, we're back on What's on Your Mind. Kirsten Baszler, North Dakota Superintendent of Public Instruction, with us, and she needs to head down to the House chamber for the governor's address in a moment here. But you heard the question. I think what he was saying is, hey, I go back and look. My mom was a teacher. It was very different then. Is there all kinds of other requirements or things that are crowding out civics? That's what I took as his question, as possibly the reason for it. Is that happening?
Scott, I think he makes a very valid point. I know there's something about us moms. I was just cleaning out my basement, too. I have all of my boys' papers, too. And, you know, basically what he said is what his daughter is learning now as a senior. He did in 9th and 10th grade, and his point is very real. I think that we are teaching a lot to our students, and the emphasis is on science and math and English, as it should be. I mean, those are very important skills for our students to have so they're successful after high school. But I think what we're doing in North Dakota is saying that in addition to math and science and English, there are other things that are absolutely as fundamentally important. The arts are important. In North Dakota, with this bill, with this proposal, we're saying we know in North Dakota that it's important for our kids to know the foundations of civics and who they are as citizens of the United States. because really without that knowledge, will the math and will the science and will the English really matter in their future if they can't learn to govern themselves? And so with this, we're making a statement that it needs to be important. It needs to be more than just an afterthought before they graduate, getting them ready before senior year. It should be foundational through their high school years. So I think that that's what, you know, the sponsors of this bill and hopefully the legislators will be debating and making a statement saying that is important too. We in North Dakota recognize that, and we are going to make it a requirement.
I forgot to ask you a call that came in before you were on the air. Wanted to know if the Department of Public Instruction had any plans to participate in public debates about Common Core prior to the legislative session. So I want to get that in quickly before we let you go.
Oh, certainly. Well, the legislators are the ones that will determine that. They're the ones that are the lawmaking body. And so I'm sure that there will be hearings that will be held that the legislature will consider bills that are filed and debate that issue when and if they need information from the Department of Public Instruction to make that decision as they consider those bills that are filed. We'll certainly be there as a resource to help them make the best decision about what direction we should go.
So nothing before the session, but during the session, there'll be plenty of time for debate, is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go. Thanks for the time today. Appreciate it very much. Kirsten Bass, we're Superintendent of Public Instruction. Kept her a little longer than we intended, and know with the governor's address coming up, she needs to get going. I'll go to the rest of these calls. So Amy and Bismarck and Marlene and Bismarck wanted to weigh in. We'll get your take on this before the segment ends here. Amy, go ahead. You're next on What's on Your Mind.
Question was towards Kirsten. She said that she knew students who are in college now that learned it but weren't tested. To me, that sounds like an education system problem. And also setting our kids for a 60% passing rate, to me, that's failing. So why are we setting our students to fail on a civics test?
Yeah, and I was concerned about that as well. I think what I heard Kirsten say specifically on the 60% is that, you know, that is a starting point, I guess.
Starting to be a pathetic starting point.
I agree. I mean, I love the idea of perfection. I'll tell you what's pathetic, though, is that the reason this whole national effort is happening is because there were scores at 6 and 7% in some of the nation's high schools.
Yeah. I guess 60% isn't what I'd want my child to shoot for.
Yeah, and my hope is, okay, there's the floor. Now, where are you going to put it in your school? And if I were you, Amy, I'd be before your local school board to say, okay, you got a new standard, but let's raise that bar.
Yes, and maybe our elected officials and our president, people who run for president's office should have to take the same civics test as well.
There you go. Good idea. And by the way, this is a proposal in a legislature that ultimately there's plenty of debate on. So there's time to say, hey, 60% is too low as well, and let legislators know what you feel about that as well. Thanks, Amy. Appreciate it. Marlene and Bismarck, you're next on What's on Your Mind.
Yes, good morning. I am totally in favor of this. I consider myself a civic-minded, and I have taken the exam on the Internet a couple of times, and it changes, you know, but there's always 100 questions. And that was one of my favorite subjects in school was social studies, and I missed a lot of those questions. So, I mean, granted, I'm old, so my memory's probably not what it used to be, but I think everybody, adults, should challenge themselves online and see how many of those questions that they can answer. And also, you know, when they give the exam, don't give them 10 questions and they're supposed to get 6 right. Give them the whole exam. Don't, you know, sometimes they shorten it down. Well, you learn something from the questions too, and then they need to go over those questions.
Yeah, and I guess that's how they do it for naturalized citizens. There's 100 questions they need to study, and then the actual test for them is 10 of them. I think they're talking about giving all 100 to the students, and then they have to get 60% on it, which I think makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely, but I am totally in favor. I wish that, you know, I could take some more classes myself just to brush up a little bit on the, you know, different things in the government that we didn't get, or it's been a long time, or whatever. I think the students should be happy that they have an opportunity, and parents should be happy that their children have an opportunity to do this. I think it's great.
I appreciate the call, Marlene. One other call that came in during the break on this topic as well. Roll that, if you would, Chris. Think it's ready.
I think the civics test is a great idea. I'd love to see it even carried a little bit farther. I'd love to see that it would be available for everybody so that we can all learn what's on the test. And finally, and I know it'll never happen, but it'd be great to have this test required for somebody to receive a voter ID card, and then all the voting public would be educated on what we need to know about our history. Thank you. Bye.
There you go. Interesting addition as well. It'll be a debate in the upcoming session. Congressman Kevin Cramer, when we come back on What's on Your Mind. Don't go away.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight up.
Do you want to drive the safest car you possibly can on the road? I'm in the Bakken a lot. I tell you what, it is a challenge. You need to be an attentive, defensive driver. When I drive one of those Mercedes-Benz from Valley Imports, a GL or an ML, I feel as safe as I've ever felt driving in the Bakken. I want you to drive one too and find out why. And you know what? Free delivery. They'll bring it to you. You can't beat a deal like that. You'll get the best price 24/7. You'll get 2 years of free maintenance on me. You just got to mention Scott. There's 24/7 roadside service. And if you go to valleyimports.com, don't find what you're looking for. They'll get it for you, give you the best price. You can't beat a deal like this. Valleyimports.com, your Mercedes-Benz dealer, if you're within the sound of my voice. Do not buy your Mercedes-Benz anywhere else. The service after the sale, the attention to detail that comes from the pros at Valley Imports cannot be beat. Plus, we're giving you 2 years of free maintenance when you mention this radio program. ValleyImports.com. Tell them Scott sent you.
Good people need help. The Homeowners Association said we had weeds and fined us $25. We told them they had the wrong house. They said if we didn't pay it, they'd file a lien. Our attorney demanded photographs, witnesses, and told them if they couldn't provide this, they must cease and desist. Issue solved. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite hosts and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tab or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com, the future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, everyone, I'm having lots of fun with my new Ghost 80% AR-15. This baby shoots like a dream. Hey, thanks, Guns80.com. You know, friends ask me all the time why I wanted a Ghost AR-15. That's easy. You see, my buddy Mark kept telling me that I'd better go to Guns80.com to get myself a Ghost AR-15 before they outlawed them. I thought he was just paranoid, so I ignored him. Well, at first. But then I started hearing government media types talking about making guns illegal, about the president signing on to a UN treaty that could take my gun rights away. You know, it really bugged me, so I dug in, I did the research, and I realized that Mark was right all along. I know now that having an unregistered Ghost AR-15 is the right answer. I'm a proud 80% Ghost AR-15 convert, you should be too. The answer's really simple. Get your Ghost AR-15 at Guns80.com. The big sale is on right now. Go to Guns80.com. That's Guns80.com. Guns80. The number's 80.com.